perils of pride. The perils of pride. In Daniel chapter 4, beginning verse 1, the Bible says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. Before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and an holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, Hew down the tree and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field. And let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown, and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven and saying, Hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. They shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like birds' claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. The perils of pride. Nebuchadnezzar says in the end of his experience, those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. The opposite of walking in pride, the Bible tells us the way we should walk is by faith, not by sight. And here in Daniel 4, we read about King Nebuchadnezzar and how God dealt with him in his pride. And there are perils of pride that we need to be made aware of so that we're careful to not have those judgments in our lives. The Bible instructs that we should humble ourselves before the Lord. And when we think of Scripture and we think of those that were lifted up with pride, certainly Samson is one that would come to mind. If you remember or have read in the story of Samson, when he meets and falls in love with Delilah, and she entices him to give her his secret to his strength. And though he doesn't give it to her right away, eventually, the Bible says in Judges chapter 16, verses 19 and 20, she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man. She caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, the secret to his strength. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before. See, every other time that Samson had lied to Delilah and told her where his strength came from, and she tried to use those methods to prevent him from showing his strength, he was able to go out and display his strength. And so in Samson's mind, maybe his strength didn't come from his hair. Maybe it was his strength and his alone. He no longer trusted in God. He no longer followed after God's plan for his life. He was lifted up with pride. And as Nebuchadnezzar says, God was able to abase him. The Bible says that Samson said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not, he knew not, that the Lord was departed from him. When you think about that and you contrast it with the story of David and Goliath, David, the Bible says, said to the Philistine, Thou comest to me, in 1 Samuel 17, verse 45, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. but I come to thee. David didn't say, I come to thee with my rocks and sling. David didn't say, I come to thee with all of my strength and my knowledge of how to go about fighting. David said, I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts.
That's right.
The God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Quite a contrast. And no doubt, David didn't have the strength that Samson had. Yet David knew where his strength came from. And David didn't trust in the rudimentary things of this life. David trusted in the living God. When you read through Daniel and you look at Nebuchadnezzar, you might scratch your head and think, man, this guy just doesn't get it. Over and over, it seems like he's having these dreams. Daniel's trying to help him. Daniel's interpreting these dreams for him. You would think that somewhere along the line, he would just say, yeah, this is right. I need to get in line with this. That's the real living God. But here in Daniel chapter 4, we read that Belteshazzar, first of all, comes to Daniel last. He goes through all of the other ones who couldn't do anything the first time interpreting the dream, but Daniel did. And he goes through all of them first, and he comes to Daniel last. How many of us go through all of our efforts first and then come to God last and say, well, maybe we should pray. Maybe we should seek God. But it's last. Nebuchadnezzar hadn't figured it out. In fact, he'd named Daniel after his god, Belteshazzar. He had named the one who was showing him who God really was after his god. And he understood, he knew that there was a holy God that Daniel trusted in, but he wasn't willing to submit himself. And even after Daniel interprets a dream for him again, and says, hey, you know, this is God's word, it's coming. But maybe you should try to live by righteousness. Maybe you should try to live with some mercy in your heart and prolong your tranquility. The Bible says a year passed. A year. And then Nebuchadnezzar says, man, look at everything I've got. Look at everything I've done. Look at me. And his pride took over his heart again. We see the perils of pride, first of all, in the pride of possessions. In Daniel chapter 4 and verse number 20, the Bible says, the tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. Nebuchadnezzar had forgotten of all the things of this life that were enjoyable and a blessing. They were there because God had blessed him. And he should thank God for those things. Yet Nebuchadnezzar was saying, these are the things that I've done. These are my things. As I was reading through this passage and looking at Nebuchadnezzar's life and the things that he tried to identify as his, what do you think of when you hear that word, mine, right? Maybe it's like me. The first thing you think of is a petulant little child who's got his toy or his candy or his whatever, and he's not really willing to share. And he says, mine. Now, maybe you're not like that, but are there things in your life that you say are yours?
Come on,
as though they belong to you? I'll be honest with you. And I do. I struggle with pride. And this, again, the messages are to me first and then through me. So maybe you're not dealing with pride this morning, but I deal with pride every day and God deals with me. I try not to say when talking to people about Heritage Baptist Church, I try not to say my church. Yes, God has placed me here as the pastor. No, this is not my church. This is our church. It's God's church. It's our church. So when I invite people to our church, guess what? I'm inviting them to you as well. You know why? Because we are the body. You say, well, that's kind of silly. Maybe, but my pride says if you start saying that it's your church, you're going to start walking in a manner not pleasing to God. What about you? Do you say they're my children when you talk about your children? Do you say that's my wife or my husband when you talk about your spouse? Is that wrong? No, as long as there's no pride connected to it. Really, though, what does the Bible say that children are? A heritage of the Lord. What if we went around and we said, here's my heritage of the Lord? Are we really putting the focus on the my? Or how about, husbands, here's my helper from the Lord. Or wives, here's my head from the Lord. That sounds weird. It's also devoid of pride. Yeah, that's my wife. I'm the head. Those are my kids. My little rugrats, little brats. This is being recorded. I got to be careful. You get it, though? When we remove the element of pride, when we say my, what are we really saying? We've got to be careful. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. Deals with possessions. The Bible says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Earlier in the same chapter of 1 Timothy 6, the Bible says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich will fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. The pride of possessions. That became a downfall for Nebuchadnezzar because he believed that he alone was responsible for bringing all of those blessings into his life and was unwilling to recognize God's hand in it all. Again, I'm not saying that it's wrong or sinful to use the term my or to refer to things as mine, but we better be careful that we're not asserting a sense of pride. In fact, it would do us good to learn to insert God into those things.
Yes, sir.
So that we don't fall with pride from possessions. Not only did Nebuchadnezzar fall because of the pride of possessions, but he also fell because of the pride of power. Again, in Daniel chapter 4, in the end of verse 21, the Bible says, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. The beasts of the field and the fowls of the air represented power. Back then was a time of those were the types of things that we use or they used to move things, right? You used beasts of the field to get the work done. The king had grown. He was strong. He had power. But here again, had forgotten that his strength and his power came from the Lord. Power is defined by the ability to act or produce an effect. To have possession of control, authority, or influence over others. In other words, there is power to do good, or there's power to do evil. And the more tools you have at your disposal, the more effect you can have in displaying your power. Here in North Dakota, we are very familiar with something called snow. How many of you have ever seen snow? Okay. And when it snows, that snow gets moved, right? Now, here at Heritage Baptist Church, we have services, and that snow can get in the way of access to the building. Now, if I was to go to all the children, let's say 10 and under in the church, and say, hey, we need you guys to go move the snow. How many of you think they could move the snow? They could move the snow. They'd be making snowballs, snowmen. It'd probably be a family of snowmen lined up on the sidewalk. They could move the snow. It'd probably be a lot of playing. Probably be, you know, just piles pushed around. Probably wouldn't get moved the way we'd like it to get moved, right? But they would have power to move snow. Now, if I said to maybe some of the older teenagers and some of the other adults in the church, hey, we need to go move snow. We got some shovels. We could get out there and we could move snow, couldn't we?
Yes, sir.
Sure. The more tools you have at your disposal, the greater power you have. Now, the church also hires a guy to come and remove a lot of the snow. He doesn't use a shovel. He uses a bobcat. The more tools you have, the more power. Understand? Nebuchadnezzar had a lot of tools. Nebuchadnezzar had a lot of beasts. Nebuchadnezzar had great power. But Nebuchadnezzar was not glorifying God, because it was God who had given him that power. God wants us to use the power that He has given us to honor Him. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Think about it, folks. The church in Acts saw many decisions for Christ. They don't have the tools that we have today. They weren't given the power that we have today, but they were given the power of the Holy Spirit, all the power that they needed.
That's right.
There's no excuse for not being a witness for Christ. There's no excuse to not share with somebody your faith in Christ. All the power you need is in the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 through 11, the Bible says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 12 says, both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. That verse alone could have helped Nebuchadnezzar take care of the first two problems of pride he had: his possessions and his power. If he had only understood and recognized that it was God who was giving him those things. In our lives, we need to recognize where God is blessed. And the power that He gives us through the Holy Spirit, we are to use for His honor and His glory. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27 says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. We talked on Wednesday evening about the last time that the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart and you were obedient. It was a great meeting. We had a great time. The last time the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart. Now, I'm not talking in an audible voice. Don't get freaked out on me, okay? But you knew that it was God speaking to you. And by the way, there's a simple test when God is speaking to you. Number one, is it in agreement with Scripture?
Right.
Number two, would Satan try to tell you to do that?
Yeah.
Is Satan going to tell you to witness to somebody?
No.
Is Satan going to tell you to be an encouragement, to be a blessing to somebody? Is Satan going to tell you to reach out and call somebody and ask them how they're doing and tell them you're praying for them? Is Satan going to do that? No. Do those things line up with Scripture?
Yes.
100%. Now we're not going to do that here this morning, but think to yourself, when was the last time the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart and you were obedient? You know what that's called? That's power. That's God's power at work in and through your life. Now, and again, I was honest. There are times where I know the Holy Spirit spoke into my heart, but I haven't been obedient. But thank God, he didn't say, that's it, you messed up, never again, forget that guy. No. Why? Because he loves me. Because he wants to use me. And by the way, he loves you. And he wants to use you. And he'll give you that power. We just need to submit, to yield, and be obedient. The pride of power became a downfall because Nebuchadnezzar didn't utilize the power that God had given him to honor God. Not only the peril of pride and possessions and power, but we see the peril of pride in his position. In verse 23 of Daniel chapter 4, the Bible says, and whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass and the tender grass of the field, let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord, the King. You see, you might have a position over others, but beware. The tree that becomes a stump is still in the same position. You might have a position over others. You might tower above other people. You might have influence over many, but the tree that becomes a stump is still in the same position. God can cut you down.
That's right.
God can solve your problem of pride. Back in Daniel chapter 2, verse 37 and 38, the Bible says, thou, O king, art a king of kings. Daniel speaking to Nebuchadnezzar, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power and strength and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. See, Daniel is interpreting that first dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, and Nebuchadnezzar kind of liked it. I'm a head of gold. He missed all the part where Daniel said, God's done this. God's given you. God. Of course, when you have a bunch of pride, you're only going to hear those things that appeal to your ear.
Right.
Some people work hard. They desire their entire lives to have a position higher than others. But being in that position simply means you have a greater task and responsibility to use that position to help others.
Amen.
Anybody know who Frederick Fleet is? Frederick Fleet? How about Reginald Lee? Reginald Lee, Frederick Fleet. I'm not just making up names. Okay. Frederick Fleet and Reginald Lee were in the crow's nest of the Titanic. The highest spot on the ship, in the front. They had a great responsibility. It was Lee who spotted the iceberg that would down the great ship on April 14th, 1912. In subsequent inquiries into the sinking, Fleet testified that had he and Lee been issued with binoculars, we could have seen it a bit sooner. When they were asked how much sooner, he responded, enough to get out of the way. Your position in life, should God elevate you, means you have a greater responsibility. You have a greater task. In later life, Fleet suffered severe depression and as a result committed suicide. He couldn't take it. He felt he had failed. He was elevated. He was given a high position, but he was given great responsibility. And souls were lost. We have a responsibility to the souls that are around us. We've been given the greatest power in the world,
right,
through the Holy Spirit. All the possessions, all the things of this life aren't going with us. It's temporal. The things that will go with us, those souls,
right,
that have put a faith and a trust in Jesus Christ. Nebuchadnezzar's position added to his prideful downfall because he did not use it to help point others to the one true living God. He only abused it to try and bring glory to himself. There are perils of pride. Maybe it's possessions. Maybe it's power. Maybe it's position. Only you and the Lord know. But again, from the words of Nebuchadnezzar, those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. May we understand and recognize that it's God that's blessed us. It's God who's given us the things of this life to enjoy. We're not to take pride in our possessions. In fact, if anything, we're to hold them loosely, because God could take them at any time.
That's right, yes.
We're not to take pride in power. If God's given us a certain ability to do something, the Bible says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is within the power of thine hand to do it. You know why? You have power because God wants you to use it to be a blessing to somebody.
Amen.
To be an encouragement to somebody. To reach out to somebody. To connect to somebody. There are hurting souls all around. Starving for the truth. Starving for the gospel. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. I get it. Not everybody's called to be a preacher. Not everybody's called to be a pastor. But we're all called to share our testimony.
Yes, sir.
We're all called to share the truth. Maybe it's position. Maybe you don't like where you're at in life. Maybe you're not happy. The Bible says having food and raiment, let us be there with content. Get your eyes off of others and get your eyes on the Lord.
If you've been given a position, you've been given great responsibility to point others to God. Don't fall into the trap that Nebuchadnezzar fell in through the perils of pride. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes as we consider the message on the perils of pride. Satan is no fool. He is a deceiver. He's a counterfeiter. He's a fake. His own pride was his downfall. Satan wanted a position equal to or higher than God's. A position is not what we should desire in this life. But if we are given a position, we ought to use it and understand and recognize we're given a responsibility, a great responsibility to those that are around us, to point them to God, to point them to Christ. When was the last time the Holy Spirit, you knew, was speaking to your heart? You knew it, and you obeyed. Shouldn't we be asking God each and every day to speak to us that He might minister in and through our lives, to guide us, to show us when and where and how we can share the gospel, to give us the power that we need to be faithful, to walk by faith, not by sight. Each and every one of us have things. Each and every one of us can fall into that trap of saying, well, that's mine. That's my. Forgetting that it's God who's blessed us. That it's God who's allowed us the enjoyment and the pleasures of this life. How about we surrender those things, those possessions, and we say, Lord, they might be mine in the sense that I own them, but they're yours. And I give them to you. I submit and I surrender everything in my life. All my possessions. My spouse, my children, my family, my home. God, they're yours. Help me, Lord, not to fall into the peril of pride over possessions. Guide me, Lord. Use the power that you've given me to minister to those around me. No matter what position I'm in, help me to be in the center of your will. Follow hard after you. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for its power. We thank you for the work that you continue to do in and through your people. Lord, I pray that you would guide and direct. Help us to be yielded to your Spirit. Lord, help us to humble ourselves before you, to recognize the truth of your word as Nebuchadnezzar stated so clearly, that those that walk in pride you're able to abase. Father, deal with the pride in our lives. Help us to submit to you. We'll give you the praise and thanks for all that you do. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. We'll